Huh?
Hiding verses at the bottom. Yeah. Well, thank God I said some translations leave out verse 21. Don't be thrown by that. If they have it at the bottom, at least they have it at the bottom. Just don't take verses out. Amen. You'll find if you look in the original, it's there. God wants it there. He kept it there. Verse 20 is there in everybody's Bible, so that we can rejoice, because that says nothing will be impossible for you. Verse 21 is a real big help because he's talking about prayer and fasting. Hannah came up and asked me a real straight question about this kind. I don't totally understand. Explain it more. And I thought, wow, that was a good question. So I want everybody to understand. When he says this kind, he's talking about a belief that empowers you to see yourself apart from him. An ability to see yourself apart from him. Any level of self-consciousness whatsoever. Who's the hope of glory that's inside of you? It's Christ. So Christ in you is the hope of glory. So it has nothing to do with your works. Who knows, we've got trapped in works many times in many areas of our lives. Works is a zero. His work is already finished. So this kind of unbelief he's talking about is anything that allows you to see yourself apart from what he accomplished and who you are because he's alive. You see what we're saying? So prayer and fasting takes you into that place. Do you notice he says prayer and fasting? Yeah, that's really, really amazing. Let me just real quick look here. Thanks, Father. Let's go to Matthew 9. Matthew 9. Let's look at Matthew 9 quick. Fasting is not a curse word, and it's not something that's just under the law. Fasting is beautiful if you understand it. I know there's some things out there. I heard of something on the internet where somebody's saying, hey, it's the law and we're in the season of feasting, not fasting. But man, you need to really be careful with that kind of stuff, jesting like that and misappropriating it. The disciples of John, verse 14, Matthew 9, came to him saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? Well, when they were fasting often, they were fasting in what? In a realm of works. They were fasting to try to find themselves to be right with God. They're under the law. We don't fast to be right with God. We don't even fast to move God. God's already moved. You're not fasting to draw favor and find favor and get the hand of God to move. He's already, you found favor. He's already moved. Fasting has nothing to do with getting God to move. Fasting has to do with you seeing clear. Follow me? And the reason that happens is because we have a flesh voice that tries to rise up. Who hears things contrary to truth a lot in your head? Right? Who in your greatest encouraged moment still has the ability to hear something that's not so encouraging or think something not so... Who has the ability to look in a mirror and speak something good and at the same time hear a whisper, it's not so good? Yes. True? You want that voice so crushed because that's the voice of a lie. That's the voice of yesterday. That's the voice that we all learned and earned through the fall in a sense. In other words, it came with the package of sin and self-consciousness. And in Luke 18, a man said, I'm glad I'm not like that man. I fast twice a week, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that's a zero. After the man said all that, Jesus said, which one of these two went home justified? Surely not that man, right? This man, not that man. He thought because he fasted, it's what made him right. It's self-righteousness. Fasting doesn't make you right with God. The finished work of Jesus makes you right with God. You're already right with God. Watch what Jesus said about fasting in Matthew 9. Then the disciples of John came and said, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not? Well, he wasn't putting his disciples under the law, but he wasn't removing the law in the sense of that they weren't under any law. The higher law is the law of love. If you walk in love, you're going to fulfill the whole law. All the law and prophets hang on love, right? He didn't come to erase the law. He came to fulfill the law. Who knows, his disciples didn't have the ability to fulfill the law. So Jesus fulfilled the law for them and entered them into him. So they weren't fasting because fasting had nothing to do with the reason they fasted, had nothing to do with his disciples or the reason Jesus was here. Okay? Now watch. Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the day will come, the days will come, when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, then they will fast. Now watch. You gotta catch this, because this sounds confusing. Did you ever see how Jesus talks off the wall, it seems, sometimes? Oh, he's amazing. Because he says, goes right into two analogies. He says, no one, he's revealing the power of fasting and the purpose of it right here. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. For the patch, what? Pulls away from the garment and the tear is made even worse. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break, the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins. New wine. He's a new and living way. He's bringing a new testament, new covenant to men. They're wondering why his guys aren't doing the same old thing they've always done. Why aren't your disciples fasting like we fast? Well, because you're still doing the old thing, and I've come to bring the new, and when they do it, it'll be in a new way for a new reason. We're not going to slap on the old and tie it to the new because it's not going to hold. We're not pouring old way of thinking into brand new wineskins. We're not going to pour in old perspectives and old motivations and old legalistic mentalities and old things into something brand new. But in that day they will fast. That means the fasting and the reason for fasting is going to be brand new. They fasted to be qualified. They fasted for self-righteous reasons. Look at Isaiah 58 real quick with me. I mean, it just sounds off the wall. He says, then they, he didn't say, he said, then they, what? Will fast. In that day, they, what? Will fast. Now, I'm not being legalistic. You guys know my heart, hopefully, by now. I'm saying, Jesus is saying it's not even an option. It's part of kingdom living. It's part of a reality that we embrace because of the benefit and blessing of getting free from ourselves. He said, in that day they what? Will. So, I understand the whole feasting thing, but there's also fasting. It just is. Watch this. I know I turned you to Isaiah 58, but look at Matthew 6. I can quote it for you. Thank you, God. He talks about giving, charitable deeds, praying. Verse 16, he's talking about principle, not to do it to be seen by men. When you're fasting to be seen by men, you're just trying to get people to think you're spiritual because you need encouraged in the fact that you are. How's that for straight? You don't need to fast openly. You wash your face and you fast. Nobody even knows you're fasting. Why? Because it's before the Lord and the benefits are within yourself and they're within your own mind. It has nothing to do with finding favor with God. You've already found favor. It's nothing to do with making yourself more right with God. You're as right as you could ever be. The blood speaks on your behalf. Right? But watch this. Verse 16, moreover, if you fast, does it say that? What's it say? Oh my goodness, when you fast, not if you fast. Pick up on those words. Because in 1 John 2, it doesn't say when you sin, it says if you sin. There's differences. Here we are thinking sin is a habit and fasting is a law. Jesus doesn't say when you sin and if you fast. He says if you sin and when you fast. We got it so backwards, it's amazing. Oh, I feel like I'm a good teacher today. Is that good, Randy, or what? Come on! Think with me how twisted up our believing in doctrine has gotten over the years. We've made fasting something optional and sin absolutely. We're not thinking for sin, we're thinking for the kingdom. And because we're thinking for the kingdom, we understand why we're fasting, and fasting's a given because we want more of Him. Look, if He said, however, this kind of unbelief, this kind of failing to see because of what's going on in the mind is not going to come out of you except by prayer and fasting, that means the benefit of fasting is you're going to see clear, understand, and come to the knowledge of truth. So fasting has nothing to do with a legality. It has to do with a revelation. It has to do with faith rising up. It has to do with seeing what you're entitled to see and getting away the fog, the clouds, the cobwebs, the self-consciousness. Fasting gets you to live, Linda, by the Spirit. Amen? There's this war, it says, that's contrary. To it's the Spirit and the flesh. And at the end of the chapter in Galatians 5, it says, and these things are so you don't do what you ought. Why? Because no one's self-made. Their ingenuity's not enough. You're not a self-made man. You're dependent on Christ. You're in Christ. You live by Christ. With Him, we can do anything. Without Him, we're nothing. You're not called to live by the flesh. You're called to live by the Spirit. And God doesn't just go bzzz and just... No, He lets us work out our salvation and fear and reverence to God and come to the knowledge of truth. And it has to do with the heart. We're not puppet robot Christians. We're people full of heart. We're willingly His children. It's not a Christian mandate. We're in love. Hello? It's not the Christian thing to do is why I live the way. I'm in love. My wife is out of town for 21 days. She left me. It's a long time. I am okay. Barely. No, I'm okay. She just takes such good care of me. Oh my goodness, she's incredible. When she leaves, I really realize how good care of me she takes. But I'm thinking, she feeds me. She cooks so ridiculously good, and she always has so much food there, and I'm like, stop! But then I eat. I said, no wonder I run 6 miles a day. I'm married to you. I come home from Colorado. She has a fresh jug of picked mint tea. I love mint tea. She has it in the freezer or fridge. She has a fresh blackberry pie. She just ran out and picked them right before I come home and baked the pie. What a girl. And she has a zucchini casserole dish there. It's my favorite. Waiting for me, welcoming me home. And I'm like, oh, all this good food. But she's, don't bother. The fridge is so empty, it's hilarious. But I'm thinking she's away, and what God's been stirring, because I'm in a marriage with her, when I fast for long times, it's challenging for her. She likes to bless me. She doesn't eat the same. She doesn't know how to cook. She's used to cooking for me. So when I fast, it actually challenges her too. And she would have to feel like she'd have to fast with me, I guess, but she just kind of, but she's away. And you know what rose up in my heart? I thought, oh my goodness, I'm just going to fast. So I'm just going to probably go on a fast, and who cares how long I fast, I'm just going to fast. You see what I mean? And it's just a good time for it because there's so much grace as far as with my marriage and Kim and all that. And, but isn't that neat that that's what came up on my heart when she's away? I'm thinking, what a good time frame to just fast. For years in February, I just shut down in the beginning of February and just fast. It just seems like a good month. I don't run in February usually because the weather's so crazy, and it's just a good time. When I'm running regular, I don't go on long fast because I have a real grace to stay in a regular place of exercise running. I just live by temperance. I live in temperance. Who knows what I mean by that? Self-control. So I don't indulge. I don't go excessive. To me, there's a health in that. There's some people are, I believe temperance is one of the greatest things we can embrace. And you don't have to live in fear. Just live in temperance. Just be self-controlled. Just eat in moderation. Just don't eat more than you need to. Just don't splurge and indulge. And look at our society. Two for one. All you can eat. More for your buck. King size. Extra double super whopper size. Look how we're geared our whole life. More for less. More, 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 more. Feed me. Serious. It's the mentality we're raised in. And it's on purpose. To where all of a sudden you're living to eat instead of eating to live. There's a shift. And you become more, you don't realize this, you become more sensual, driven, more flesh conscious, more nurturing and pampering yourself than seeking the Spirit. There's a trap there. You don't understand. It's not legalistic stuff I'm talking right now. Most people are geared to not even want to hear what we're talking about. But if Jesus told his disciples, there's something going on in your mind that's hindering what's in your spirit, what I've given you, and it won't come out of you except by prayer and fasting. Now, that's not a works thing. It's a place to suppress the carnal nature, the cry of the flesh. Most addictive habits, most compulsive behaviors can be crushed in a simple 3-day water fast. But because the compulsion's there, we won't address it with a fast because the compulsion's more alive than our desire to break it. But I promise you, if you really want to break things, a fast and getting into a supernatural spirit-led fast where you're trusting God's grace. Like God taught me when I go into a fast years ago, I said, I want to understand fasting. I started seeing it in my Bible. And I said, I didn't read no books on it or anything. I asked the Lord to teach me how to fast. And he taught me how to fast. And I don't go through all the symptoms that people talk about and the shakes and the headaches and the whole. I really don't. I'm geared to fast. Like the month of February, I would just shut down and fast. And you wouldn't know I'm fasting except for halfway through. You say, boy, you look thin. And then people get, well, you look pretty thin. And we're so flesh self-conscious. Are you sure you're okay? You're getting really thin, but I hope you're okay. I was fasting for a lot, and I had some people surround me at church where I pastored, some administrators and people that loved me. Three of them came in my office and surrounded me and said, we just want to talk to you. You're really thin. I said, thin's good. What's up? But you just look thinner than you should. I said, what are you talking about? And it's like, everything is so cool. Jesus is crystal clear, crackling in my life. I'm like, yay. But they're like, be careful. We're worried about you. It's amazing how we get. Probably was doing better than ever. Serious. Better than ever. I want you to see this. When you fast, not if you fast. When you fast, don't be like the hypocrites and do it to be seen and known. They disfigure their faces, appear to men to be fasting. They want people to know. People, there's people out there, you know, man, I just came off of a fast. Really? How long did you fast? Well, 12 days, man. Did you ever fast 40? I fasted 40 three times. See, that's a zero. Just in that language, if you understood the awesomeness, the blessing, the gift, the humility of fasting, that can't even be in your language. That's a zero. That has nothing to do with fasting. I learned that the hard way. Because I've been doing a lot of fasting over the years, and I was fasting out. I don't talk numbers anymore, but I was fasting out past where I'd ever gone. And I was so geared. You have no idea. I was pumped. I was like, I'm going to fast for eternity. And I got out there, and it was, I was on the day of the longest fast I had ever done. And I walked in the bathroom and was cleaning up, brushing my teeth, doing whatever, ready to go into the next day. And I'm like, whoa, I'm on that day. Tomorrow's another day. Another day on my checklist, right? And I'm pumped. You couldn't tell I was fasting. I was wired. I wasn't like hamburger. It wasn't like that. It was like zzzz. And the Lord said, hey, Dan. Yeah. And I think I was ready to brush my teeth or something. I was getting ready for bed. And he's like, if you fast past today, it'll be completely for nothing. And I went, huh? What? What do you mean? You've lost sight of what you're doing and why. Your motivation shifted. He said, you need to break your fast right now. It's become too important time instead of why. And I went, but Lord, he said, the fact that you'd yell butt me says everything. Break your fast. I started bawling because I yell butted God. Do you think God knows what he's saying? I was just like when I was a teenager and my dad or mom told me something. They knew what they were telling me, and I'm a teenager. And I yell butt them as if I know. Does any of us ever do that as a teenager? Your parents are telling you what they know is right, and you're yell butting because you're a teenager. And you think you know. I yell butted God. And he said, real quick as a father, the fact that you yell butt me says everything. I fell down, knelt, cried, ran right down, diluted a little bit of juice, and broke the fast. I didn't want nothing to do with it. I bawled. And I started to realize, I sat on my bed then and let him father me a little. And here's what he said. He said, Dan, you lost such sight of, you just got into time frame and fasting for a period of time as if that's what's important. The why behind your fast is all I want. That's all that matters. Whether it's a day, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, it's irrelevant. It's the why behind it that brings benefit, not how long you're fasting. It shifts into a work. He said, Dan, if I wouldn't bring this stuff to your attention, you'd be so trapped in pride. He's telling me this on the bed. He said, you'd be in a conversation. Somebody would say, they fast X amount of time. And in your heart, you would say, wow, well, I fasted this. Well, so what? Well, you gonna give me a trophy now? World's greatest faster or something? I don't know. What are we doing? Are you going to give me a medal? You see how we lose track of what we're doing and why? Fasting has nothing to do with you being an amazing faster and how long you're fasting. Fasting has to do with subduing the carnal tendency, flesh, and nature of man. Fasting has to do with suppressing the cry of the flesh, pampering and nurturing the flesh. Isn't that why we don't go out of our way sometimes to bless and help? Because it's too painful. We don't have time, self-preserving, self-protecting, self-conscious, fear of man, all that stuff entails. Look, I'm tired. I just want to go home. I don't really want to stop and pray. And you justify it because, hey, I don't have to pray for everybody. I'm under grace. I'm not under the law. But you don't realize there's some subtleties there where we might be pacifying the flesh instead of building our spirit. Who cares if I'm tired if they need Jesus? There's a place to get that way. Who cares if I'm hurting right now if I see they're really hurting? Who cares what it costs me if they can have life? There's a place where fasting will put that militancy in you, where your flesh won't have the voice that it's had most of our lives. How I feel, what I think has a lot to do with the flesh. So the Lord taught me. I was in my bedroom and I said, please teach. You know how the disciples said, teach us to pray? I saw prayer and fasting in there, and I said, please teach me to fast. I want you to teach me to fast. And because he had put me on a 3-day fast and just shut me down. Remember how David Hogan said he just totally shuts off? Doesn't drink any water or food? That's like, medically, scientifically, that is the biggest no-no on the planet. Your body's not made for that. Without food, you can live a long, long time. Most Americans think they'll die in a day. Honestly, most Americans honestly, truly think that if you don't eat for 3 or 4 days, that's like starvation and you're going to die. Your body's designed. It actually shuts down and it goes in. It's like some people say, well, I just do a juice fast. Well, that's a real challenge doing a juice fast because you constantly keep hunger activated. And you're constantly fighting hunger on a juice fast. If you just do water, you shut down your hunger. After a couple of days, your body goes into a mode called shutdown. It goes into a survival mode, clean house, shutdown. Your body, your cells search out everything that's foreign, everything that's not good. Things that don't need to be in there that you might be concerned are in there. It's just a house cleaning time. Your organs get to rest. You're not processing food. Everything's like... And your body will actually search. There's tumors. It's proven fact. I don't know why we don't administer this thing medically, the fasting more. There's tumors that'll disappear if you go on a long enough fast. Your body will just eat them. I had a thing growing in the back of my leg just for years. It wasn't nothing. It wasn't cancerous. It was just a growth. It had a name, like a little keloid, a little whatever it was called. The first long fast I went on, it just disappeared. My body just devoured it. Just came right off my leg. Just said, "Ooh, your excess tissue. We're looking for nourishment right now. We'll just eat you." My body just ate the thing right off my leg. Didn't belong there. It wasn't part of me. So my body said, "Anything not part of you, we're getting rid of." The reason people get a little feverish sometime is and weak and little. Because your body's cleansing and cleaning and taking out toxins and things. And so you usually drink a lot of water and eat no food. That's a fast. In the wilderness, Jesus hungered after 40 days. It didn't say thirst. He hungered. If you don't drink water, your body in the natural would shut down quickly. And without food and water, it's not a long time. Unless God supernaturally. So David's in a place of faith where he just wants to so subdue the need of flesh and man, and so wants to submit. Do you hear his heart in that? I so want to submit to the supernatural power of God in my life that I'm willing to cross natural laws, believing God will sustain me. I so want to live in the supernatural. That's his heart in that. That's not something you do unless you really see that. But one day the Lord got my attention years and years ago. He said, "I want you to stop eating or drinking until I tell you." And I went, and I was like, that was God. I didn't think it was the devil. I wasn't like, that's a stranger. I rebuke you. You're trying to kill me. I knew it was God. He just spoke in a way where I knew it was God. So I shut down. I didn't eat or drink for 3 days. Nothing. I was totally fine. Nobody knew I was doing it. I was heading home for supper that evening. At supper time, I mean not for supper, at supper time. And the Lord said, "When you get home, I want you to join your family and eat." And I said, "Lord, what was going on the last 3 days? Why did I do that?" He said, "I just wanted to get your attention so you live a fasted life." And he started to speak to me about temperance and not overindulging and just living in a moderate place. And I went, wow, cool. To get my attention to do that, he shut me down completely. And then so I obeyed him. I reaped the benefit of that. Didn't tell anybody. Because you tell people, they go, this is what people do. "You didn't drink water for 3 days? That's not healthy." So you run into paradoxes with that because people care. And I knew Jesus told me, but I don't do that. When I fast, I just drink water. I don't eat. The reason is you don't want to trigger hunger. You can take a breath mint with 2 grams of sugar and trigger hunger and break your fast. Because your body goes, "Oh, yeah, that's right. We used to eat. He's feeding me." And ain't no food coming. You just put a sugar-filled breath mint in your mouth and you trigger hunger. Probably the biggest challenge in a fast is the first couple of days is hunger. After about the third day, normally, maybe up to 4 or 5, depends on your body and how much you fasted, hunger will go away. The only thing that will come is a habit hunger every once in a while. I was out in around 2 weeks fasting. The first time I was out about 2 weeks, I swore I smelled cheeseburger sub. I love cheeseburger sub. And I started to dream about a cheeseburger sub, and I saw it. It was a vision. It was my mind. It wasn't the spirit. And I smelled it. It was so real, I thought I broke my fast. I was like, I think I just ate that thing. It was that real. One day a piece of pizza was hovering right in front of me. You have no idea. It was habit hunger. It was my body saying, hello, do you remember me? You remember how that tastes? And I'd be like, so habit hunger would come, but technically you get into a fast over a week, your body, you're not even thinking of hunger. Into the second week, most people that understand fasting go into it with the right heart and have fasted at all. It's 100% effort to come off of the fast. Your body's in a groove. You're not walking every day going, oh my God, I need to eat. I see people fasting and they're saying, oh my God, I've been on a fast, and wouldn't you know, they had chicken, and or they had this, or they had it. I'm thinking, we don't understand what we're doing. We're just suffering our bodies. Yeah. It's not, if you're fasting and you're just saying, oh my God, I'm fasting today and they got the men's breakfast. Duh, what a tough day to fast. God, get me through. I would say just go to the men's breakfast and eat. Because you've lost sight, you don't understand why you're fasting. The benefit of fasting far outweighs the pleasure of eating breakfast. And if it's a thing where I could serve you food when I'm fasting because of what I understand, I could make you supper and put it on your plate the whole time. And it's not a challenge because you understand why you're doing it. It's not about abstaining from food. It's seeking the things of the Spirit. Do you understand? It's not just, I'm on a fast, I can't eat now. Oh my God, I wish I could. 2 for 1. God, I hope that sale comes back next week. See, if you're thinking of that, you're fasting for wrong reasons. I'm just being straight. It's not about that. John, do you have it? And I can't cover all this today, but I'm just throwing some things out with fasting.
It's a quick question. Is it something that you need to be led into, or could you just in your desire to seek the Lord just say, as I'm sitting here, say, you know what, today I want to fast?
Absolutely. You have that privilege. Absolutely. 100%. And people say you have to be led into a fast. You can be led into a fast. The Lord told me to shut down for those 3 days. The Lord's told me one time to fast a week, a month for 7 months. There was different commissionings of fasting that he did. One time he told me to fast for 3 months. I ate a meal a day and drank a glass of water at lunchtime. That was all I did. And I worked and ran 5 miles a day and worked a schedule and drank one glass of water and ate a sandwich and a light meal at lunch. That was all I did for 3 months. That's humanly impossible. You would dehydrate and die. It's not enough intake. It's not even enough liquid to substantiate your body. But the Lord had me do that for 3 months and then told me to stop, and I didn't lose a pound. And right when that was over, my church came and asked me to step on pastorally, and I didn't see that coming, and I told them no. And the third time they asked me, my pastor said, have you even prayed about this? I said, I haven't even thought about it. I'm not a pastor. I'm a warehouse worker in love with Jesus. And then it ended up that the Lord told me I was supposed to do it, and I've been kind of in that position ever since. But right before that happened, he had me on a 3 month, one meal a day, a cup of water, and I'd go work in a warehouse that was between 90 and 100 because it was metal roofs and no air conditioner, and I ran 5 miles every day. Do you know how much more you lose running 5 miles than a glass of water? When I run 5 to 6 miles on a scale, because I run hard. I run under 7-minute miles. I try to run 6.5 at least right now, minute miles. Some days I'm feeling really pumped, or Jesus will speak something special to me and I'm extra motivated and I really cruise. But I lose 5 pounds on the scale. If I get on a scale before I run and after I run, it's 5 pounds difference when I'm done running 6 miles. It's true. I've been doing it for years. It's 5 pounds difference. Now you imagine doing that and then drinking one glass of water. And then going to work for 10 hours, 4 days a week, and running every day, and drinking one glass of water and eating, and shutting down everything else the rest of the time. It was totally supernatural. God led me to do that. I'm not a nutrition guy. I don't study all that stuff. When you talk about carbs and all that stuff, I really, honestly, I'm 49, but I really don't know what you are talking about. I know they're on the labels. I've never looked into them, studied them, don't understand it, and sometimes want to stay free from all that stuff because I see people get so complex, and so I like staying free from all that stuff. I just live. I live temperate. I live in temperance. People have knowledge. I see you, Ron. I just get you. People have knowledge of this, all this nutritional health stuff. I'm not against it. I don't know. Some people that I see that are so conscious of it don't feel as good as the people that don't know nothing. Sometimes it might even get you up here. And there was one time the Lord told me I ate too much sugar, and he pointed out an area in my life. And I said, wow. And I just stopped. That was simple. That doesn't mean that I need to look into a whole bunch of stuff. So I live temperate. I'm just talking how I live. I'm not telling you I'm right. It's where my conscience is. It's where my faith is. I just know this. Most people have the capacity to read an article that says this preservative this and this causes this, and then you get afraid because you ate it your whole life. And I don't know how to get afraid because I ate it my whole life. I thank God that if it wasn't for the gospel, I'd probably die. And I thank God that he's kept me. And I chucked the article. I don't go to the prayer line and ask for cleansing. That's to say you're vulnerable to the natural knowledge instead of the gospel. Vulnerability is fear, by the way. So hang on, Ron, just for a sec. So I want you to see something here. You have the right, John's question, you have the right to fast because you want to. But you have to fast for the reason to suppress the things of flesh and grow in the things of spirit, to get your mind in a place where you're seeing, you're reading, it's coming alive. God, I want to know you more. Thank you for illuminating me. I thank you, Lord. I am just bringing discipline into my life. I'm not indulging in the flesh. I want to grow in the things of the spirit. And this kind, this ability to see apart from you is being removed from my life. I'm seeking after you. It's not just fasting, it's prayer and fasting. So your prayer in the midst of fasting is a powerful place, even more so than just prayer alone. Because you're tuned in, you're dialed in. It's a higher place of prayer, I believe, the combination of prayer and fasting. Personally, I believe that. Because of the extra focus. We pray for, who knows, we pray for a lot of reasons. It's not always faith, and it's not always healthy sometimes. It's fear, it's worry, it's troubleshooting, it's desperate. You could fast for a lot of reasons. But wonder if we combined them healthily and do it for the right reason. So you get alone and you pray, and you're building yourself up in God. All of a sudden the things you're praying feel more real. They see, all of a sudden the Spirit of God's more prevalent in your life. There's an awareness, and it's all through the process of prayer and fasting, and your flesh is submitted. Wouldn't that be awesome if your flesh was just hush? Just hush. Because the flesh and the voices you hear contrary to truth are connected, unless you didn't know that. The self-conscious tendencies and all that stuff, it's all connected to flesh living. The more spirit-conscious I become, the more I don't hear that voice, or if I hear it, it's so exposed that I don't even follow it. Why don't you follow a stranger's voice? Because it's strange. It's simple. You want the stranger's voice to be strange. You following? So when I go into a fast, I'll submit myself to God, and I'll submit myself, and I'll put down the things of flesh. Like, I'll be alone. You're not there. You're not in the room. Father, I just yield to you. And I just thank you. You've made me to be spirit, and you've made me to have authority in the name of Jesus and walk in the kingdom of God and reveal the glory of God. Thank you. I'm not a limited man. I'm not a selfish man. I'm not a self-conscious man. I thank you that anger and frustration and wrath and jealousy and all those things have no place in my life. I surrender and submit myself to you. And Father, I just renounce any weakness, anything lethargic, anything undisciplined, anything unyielded. I just give myself to you, and I thank you. I am a man of the Spirit. I just humbly bow before you, and I yield to you, and I renounce the things of the flesh. And I just thank you, and I honor you as Almighty God. The Spirit of God in me rules, and the Spirit of God in me reigns. And I just humble myself before you and honor you as Almighty God, the glory and lifter of my head. You're the one that has raised me literally from the dead. I bow before you, and surely you're the one that raises me up. God, I'm a man of the Spirit. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Father, I think in agreement with your mind, and your heart burns with inside of me. Father, I yield myself to you, and I thank you, Lord God, that the things of the Spirit are what moves my life. I am a man of the Spirit. My soul agrees, and my flesh says, yes, sir. We are in agreement. My spirit is willing, and my flesh is strong. My flesh is not a distraction. We are one, and we're running together to fulfill the will of God, and we will finish this course. I will see your glory and move in your power and not be limited or restricted. My life is in you, and surely you are in me. There's a way to enter in to the things of the Spirit. Now see, that's how I live when you're not around. That's between me and him, them kind of prayers. Now if I ask around, there's a lot of people that have never even thought to pray that way or don't have the confidence to pray that way. But that kind of prayer, you have to understand too, you're not compared to me. That kind of prayer builds in you over years where you really begin to see and believe. Do you understand what I'm doing here? I'm renouncing and surrendering and yielding. And as I'm yielding and surrendering, I'm believing who I really am. And I'm coming up in him. And the Holy Spirit taught me to enter into fasts like that. Once I come up, and it's always different. It's just whatever he's putting on my heart, but I'm yielding to him. Once I walk out of the room, it's on. I'm locked. And it's not like, oh my God, I'm hungry. It's not even like that. It's just conscious of him. Now watch. You don't need to fast to live that way. I encourage you to live that way every day. But fasting just keeps your flesh in submission where it belongs. Where you're not just giving yourself to the things of the flesh. You follow what I'm saying? I would encourage you not to pamper your flesh a whole lot. Don't powder it and puff it up. No, you girls, you can still powder. But don't nurture your flesh, nurture your spirit. You follow me? Ron, did you have something? Turn the bottom, I think the bottom button. Flip.
Hello? Yeah.
Yep, you're there, buddy.
In the late 90s, when Mary and I were considering moving, that we didn't know where to move, and I got a map of America, and I fasted and prayed for about 3.5 days. And anyways, I got so lightheaded about the third day. I mean, I felt like I was high. I didn't like it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And anyways, I broke the fast after about 3.5 days. But I've been afraid of going on a more than a one-day fast because
right.
of that experience.
Okay. Yeah, and you don't, you know, that's where the Lord might say, Ron, I want you to do this, he'll empower you. But if you had an experience like that, some people have certain medical conditions that they're still fighting, contending with, believing for. And it's not a law. It's not legalistic. So what I'm saying isn't condemnation. The key is, man, just miss a meal now and then. Just skip a meal. Just say, you know what? I'm just going to skip a meal. When I first met Todd, I gave him, he wanted to know about fasting. I told him a little bit. He's like, dude, that's kind of whacked. And I gave him a book, and it was a pretty intense, it's a militant book, and you have to read it in grace, so you'll just hear it in law. It sounds like the law when you read it, but I like it. I can hear anything in grace and separate. So I want you to talk to me straight. You know what I'm saying? And I'm reading this book going, whoa. And Todd, I gave him the book. I said, well, read this, but make sure. And I told him, and next day I saw him, he gave it back. He's had that look in his eyes. He says, dude, you can have the book back. He said, I read a chapter and about 2 more pages. I just closed the book, said, this ain't for me. And at that time, he told me missing a meal was like, yeah, right. Now he fasts every other day. For a season, he fasted every other day, and it became a work to him, and it just became a habit. And on the days he wasn't fasting, he was eating twice as much as he would have anyway. So it was like the Lord just repositioned, got him in good place, lost a bunch of weight, got himself feeling healthy, and then got his heart realigned and got him back on the every other day thing because the Lord really wanted him to do it. So he does that faithfully. Well, it's Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays he fasts. So that's neat. It's an active, it's just staying active, and it's just an unto the Lord thing. It's not a works thing. It just keeps your flesh in a good place. So when what Ron's saying is, you have an experience like that, you're not mandated. God's not saying, if you don't fast 10 days, man, if you don't fast 40 days, if you don't fast, you know what I'm saying? He's not saying that. But in your heart to know him more and say, hey, you know what? I want to press into God. I just, this whole thing, if you called me to fast and said, when you fast, there has to be a place to be able to do it. And I'm going to do it. And you just do a day, do, miss a meal, stretch into another day, challenge that experience and by faith roll into the third day. Don't be afraid. Fear's never God. Do you see what I mean? If it's in your heart, you have that privilege. Do you see what I'm saying? But man, just miss a meal. Some people need to just start somewhere and just miss a meal. Just miss a meal, because I'll tell you, you'd be amazed how just missing a meal seems really inconvenient. I don't want to miss a meal. If I miss a meal, I'll get so lightheaded, I'll get shaky. Yeah, and that's your flesh. You're so trained. Your flesh will say, what are you doing to me? We're just going to pray through the shakes. I'm going to get alone, close the bedroom, and I'm going to say, God, thank you for grooming my spirit. And you just take a little season like that and watch the fruit and the benefit that'll come. Because I'll tell you what, if missing a meal wipes us out, we're accommodating our flesh in more ways than we realize. I'm just being straight. I'm just being honest. Did you have a comment or something? And I can't, there's so much to cover. I couldn't possibly cover it in this last hour, but.
There it is. About 24 years ago, my husband and I were separated. We were almost divorced. Our house was up for sale. He had a girlfriend. I had a boyfriend. We were, you know, doing a nice divorce. And the Lord, it was so bad I was going to commit suicide. And I just knelt down at my bed. I gave him my daughter. And I said, I can't go through this. This is so painful. And I just knelt down and just asked God to forgive me for what I was about to do, because I knew I had failed him. And he came into my bedroom. And it was a whole night that he just was there with me. And when I got up, he said, now I want you to ask your husband back. And I was like, oh, I can't do that, you know. But I had to obey him. And he said, and you're going to go on a fast. And I did. And it ended up being a 21-day fast. And he gave me a battle plan.
Right.
And it was beautiful, because it was a day by day, step by step, fast. It came, and it was amazing. And 33 years later, I am still with my husband. We have two more children, and it's just beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
Do you see how the fast has zeroed her into God, His voice, the battle plan,
the fast
gets her away from the whole mess she's in when He shows up in a room. First of all, isn't Jesus amazing to show up in a room and begin to love her and not say, what are you doing?
Oh yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
They bring a woman to Him who committed adultery. They got stones in their hands. They want to judge her, and they're testing Jesus. And He looks around in the wisdom of God. Oh, it's just so amazing. He says, who among you have not sinned? Go ahead and throw the first stone. We know the story. But see, we think He disqualified everybody, but at the same time He disqualified them, He qualified Himself to throw a stone. So what He was saying is, I legally could have the right to judge you. But He didn't come to judge, He came to save. And He looks at her and says, woman, where are thine accusers? She looks around and says, there are none, Lord. He says, I accuse you neither. The reason He said that is because He qualified Himself to accuse her. But He didn't see her for adultery. He saw her for a daughter. He saw her for potential, for purpose, for destiny. I think it's beautiful. He comes into a room in a mess like that. Boyfriend, girlfriend, just making their own way. Hey, if this didn't work, something else will. Fending for themselves, still hurt, still despairing, still all that stuff. And then cry out to Jesus, and He just shows up. Boop. Loved you. Ah, you better believe He did. And then He brings her into this fast. Why? Because He's grooming her. He's getting her mind off of everything that permitted her to be in the place that she was. Well, I understand. But this whole fasting, it conditions her, it focuses her, and look what happened. And God releases His grace, and here they are all these years later, and bam. It's just beautiful. But do you see the purpose of that fast? I got to close with this. I opened up this fasting thing, and I don't know if we'll cover it anymore, but there's probably some questions or something. But and towards the end of school, just so you know, we'll take a day and probably two right at the end of school, and the whole class will just be questions that were maybe held or not, that we didn't address or that you still have. And we will just have a whole day, right, Sue? We will have a whole day of just question and answer, and we'll answer the best we can. Okay? So that'll be towards the end of school. But I want to read this in Isaiah 58 and close. And tomorrow, if you have questions on fasting and want to ask some more, we could just try to wrap up some things. But there's some other scriptures we could look at. But just remember that Jesus said, in that day they will fast. In that day they will fast. Isn't that amazing? He wasn't interested in them fasting then because it was under the legal code of why people were fasting. And he wasn't going to put an old piece of garment onto something new. He wasn't going to put old wine into something new. He wanted the motive, the reason, and everything about it to be new. Isn't that cool? He's pointing to that here in Isaiah 58. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily. They delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of, as if everything's cool. See, they're thinking fasting is making up for sin. You see? And all that stuff. Fasting is to see clear, to suppress the carnal nature. We already covered that. It's actually great health benefits to fasting. On the natural side, apart from the gospel, if you just move the gospel completely away, fasting's very beneficial in your life. Gives your body a break. It cleans you out. It's house cleaning. Feeds on things that need to be removed. It's just fasting's very healthy. They've done studies and results on people that have fasted for long times. And your liver takes its natural shape and size and form, and everything gets rested, everything gets cleaned out. When you come off of a fast, especially if it's over 3 days, you should come off gently and slowly. You just don't go eat a meal. If you're fasting more than a week or two, you should take a long time to come off. You dilute some juices. There's some good books out there on that stuff. I actually have a good book. I'm not sure how you track them down. I have a real good book that tells you how to come off fasts. It's hard to track down. There's a guy that gets him out of Texas or something. It's written by Franklin Hall, and I really like it. But he claims that you ought to take as long to come off the fast as you were fasting. But it's not quite that extreme. He's just talking on a real healthy side. But say you fasted for 40 days. You shouldn't take less than about 12 days to come off the fast and be eating a normal diet. And you start off with very diluted amounts of diluted juice, real small. And then you wean into some fresh fruit, some real... There's just some stuff you do. See what I mean? It's harder. There's more discipline in coming off of a long fast than doing the fast itself. Because when you come off the fast, you trigger hunger. And now your belly's going, feed me. People say, well, if you're fasting for 21 days, that's starving myself. It's not starvation. Fasting is totally cool. Your body understands it and positions for it and cleans. Remember it says, and after 40 days, Jesus hungered. When that strong, viable hunger returns, that's when the fast is complete. A complete fast is when you go into the place where hunger leaves, you're doing good, there's a house cleaning. Actually, 2 weeks into fasting, I don't know how some people here that fasted long, 2 weeks into fasting, I have more energy and more zip than I do when I'm not fast. 2 weeks into fasting, I'm like a live wire. I'm like, people say, well, you're like that anyway. No, I'm really like that 2 weeks into fasting. I'm not like, serious. It's the body's just in a good place. But when hunger returns, and it's different for people, if we're carrying extra weight, if we haven't done long fasts, you could fast. It's not just 21, 30, 40, 50 days. It's whatever your body says. But you fast a certain amount of time and all of a sudden your body's done and your body says, feed me, and it's time. And if you go past that, that's when you cross the line into starving yourself, because your body's saying, look, I need nourishment now. But you'd be amazed how long you can live. Franklin Hall has a lady in the book. She fasted 82 days on water. Just water. It's fascinating. She did 60 plus days 4 or 5 times. And when you looked at her in the picture, she was just radiant. Just this precious elderly lady, like a grandmother figure. And she said in the 82 days, she said the experiences of heaven and the glory of Jesus was so magnificent, I swore that I would never eat again. She was in prayer and God translated her to a service. She was on the platform and there was a wheelchair and she prayed for a lady and the lady got healed and got out of the wheelchair. God took her from her bedroom to the service in the 82-day fast. I don't know why you wouldn't want that stuff. It's just our bodies are going 82 days and our minds are trying to wrap around that. You see what I'm saying? But I'm not saying you have to do that. You don't get legalistic with it. She caught the joy of it. And did it. There's a story in the book of a man who fasted 40 days. Now, I don't want that to happen because I like my hair. It just, ever since I got saved, my hair turned like this. I was 33 and my hair started turning as soon as I got saved. Ain't nobody in my heritage, family, generations that have hair like my hair. It's just a God thing to me. And I don't care. I was 38 and it was completely like this. And I say the more I pray and read my Bible, it changes. So I'm just okay with it. But this man had gray hair, whitish gray hair, and he fasted 40 days and his coal black hair grew back in after a 40-day fast. It's just crazy stuff. So I don't know what was causing genetically the gray hair, this and that, but whatever was causing that, it got reverted through the fast and his hair color came back. Different things. There's a lot of stories in there about the natural benefits of fasting in his book. It's Franklin Hall. I don't know if you can track down a Franklin Hall book on fasting, but it's called The Atomic Power of God Through Fasting. But I caution you, if you read it, that you don't read it legalistically. It would be very easy to read that book legalistically and get condemned and go into a fast because you ought to or have to or should to or need to. Fasting's a privilege. So I do caution you if you read that book, so I'm making that clear. If you get a hold of that book, I have a couple laying at home. If somebody, if you guys want me to bring one of them in and you just want to kind of pass them around, the book is so thin, it's so little, you can burn through it. If you're a reader and you can just pass it through the school if you want. I can bring it in if somebody would want to read it. Okay.
I've got it on file on my computer too as a PDF. Oh, really? People bring their jump drives or whatever, their thumb drive on.
Oh, yeah? Man, you're talking other tongues to me, dude. Whatever. Jesus, it's PBTF. That's PFD is a life preserver for boating, fishing. What is this? A PDF and then a jump. Hatabakasa. I just didn't pray much and get the interpretation. That was other tongues. That was another language. Franklin Hall. But I caution you, if you read it, that you don't read it in the law. It's written almost in the law. Mm-hmm. But the reason I got so much out of it because of the benefit of fasting and his revelation on why to fast, just the privilege of the best blessing of it. So I have a real faith. Do you understand that the faith I have when I fast is what motivates me in the fast? Do you understand that everything you do by faith? If it's a works, no wonder it's so hard. I can't read this. We're late. We will pick up on this tomorrow and I'm sure there's other questions and stuff. So I just wanted to get in on that because if Jesus, if the only place in the Bible it was recorded in the New Testament being proclaimed where Jesus is on the earth, I understand they're still under the old, but he didn't die yet, but he was still giving us peeks into what was to come, right? He's healing everybody, his guys are working and moving in the power, and man, there was a guy in the Bible that was casting out devils in Jesus' name. You aware of that? And the disciples were bothered because he didn't run with them, but yet somehow he had a revelation of who Jesus was and was using that authority to cast out devil. That's impressive. And they wanted to stop him and shut him down. And Jesus said, no, you don't shut him down. Nobody can do a good thing in my name today and soon be against me. It's cool. I'm like, who is this guy that had a revelation casting out devils in Jesus' name and he hadn't even died on the cross yet? That's just amazing. So we see that stuff being revealed and yet in this, it's the only place in the New Testament where people prayed and the person wasn't healed. Would you agree? Matthew 17. It's the only place recorded where they prayed and it didn't happen. Jesus had a lot to say about it. And it's the answer, and we ought to respond. And the end was, prayer and fasting was how to get the problem out of the way. So we ought to take heed to that. That's all I'm saying. Amen? So we'll pick up a little bit. Why don't we just stand to our feet and we'll pray just something I wanted to touch there in my heart. It just came in my heart. Got to teach on healing a little and what's possible. And be encouraged, man. Lay hands on the sick. The Spirit of God's in us. The kingdom's in us. Remember, when you lay hands on the sick, it's the sign of believing. Not healing. Laying hands on the sick is the sign of believing. The healing comes because you've believed and laid hands on the sick. They recover. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. So Father, we just stand in your presence. We thank you. We just thank you for the grace of just growing and knowing you. Just the grace on this school that we would be encouraged and strengthened in every way, God. And Father, even this little fasting thing we did here for the last hour talking about it, just ask that you touch it and grace it and just put a desire and a understanding in our hearts and just multiply us in that way. And we just thank you for the benefit of it. We thank you, Lord God, that if we have faith, nothing's impossible. However, the things that are hindering the possible can be removed by fasting. We ought to take heed. So thank you, God, because I don't want limited, and I don't think anyone here wants limited. So teach us, instruct us, and continue to bring revelation upon revelation, and let every mountain submit to you. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Bless you guys. You're awesome. Hey, Matt. Here, man, I brought this back in. I checked it out. I didn't want to keep it. But I did take it home and check it out. But it's your book, man. But it's hard for me. What's that considered the way it's written?
It's supposed to be, I think it's called lull speak. It's like lull speak.
Okay. Something